Is Al running too?
Yes. Yep.
What's his last name again?
Al Havens.
Okay.
Well,
58. Okay. Oh, it came up finally.
You guys may as well go ahead and pull up some chairs.
Hey, Rod. Rod, check your email just now for Greg.
Got 59.
What those outcomes are that were identified in that
okay.
column
okay.
in the back.
Okay.
Oh, good. Thanks, Jim.
All right. Yeah, that's helpful. Thank you.
Yeah, it is so much nicer on one.
Yes.
It just...
It's easier to read rather than...
Well, and I didn't want to have all those wrinkles on my paper.
Okay, I got 9 o'clock. Here we go. Good morning, everyone. This is the Johns County Supervisors work session for Wednesday, October 4th, 2017. It's about 9 in the morning. Let's get started. Chair Reddick is out on personal business and will be back tomorrow. So I am taking her place. I'm Vice Chair Mike Carberry. First on the agenda, we have mental health / disability services of East Central Iowa Region. ECR fund balance, and we have, I believe, Jan Shaw and Deb Gard with us. Good morning.
Good morning. Tomorrow there is a regional governance board meeting, and one of the agenda items is to talk about fund balances and also to talk about what's called Senate File 504 projects, and I will give you some more information about that. Senate File 504 is the Senate file where we changed our property tax levy. And so some of the other components of that was talking about fund balances. And so the bill also required the counties to spend down fund balances that were in excess of 25%. And then beginning in fiscal year 22, counties fund balance could be 20% for counties that have the population that we do. Also part of that bill was that the regions were supposed to do stakeholder work groups to talk about delivery of services for individual with mental health, disabilities, substance use disorders, and people especially with complex needs. And as a result of those stakeholder meetings, then by October 16th, each region then has to submit what they call a community service plan to DHS. And in that service plan, they are supposed to give some details of projects or ways that that particular region is going to spend down their fund balances. So those meetings have been held throughout the last couple months, I think beginning in July. And various stakeholders, law enforcement, crisis service, residential services, other providers, jail alternatives, legal, hospitals, all have been involved in these meetings. And so there's been quite extensive list, and that's the one, the Excel spreadsheet that you have that has, like the 19 things listed on it. Those are the projects that came out of all those various meetings. And each county came up kind of with their own ideas of things that they felt were needed in those in their county. And then some of the ideas, other counties said, oh yeah, we would benefit from having that in our county too. So that's again the column that says, you know, what county that it would benefit. There's estimated costs. And also that last column on there that says about outcomes, part of this service community plan, DHS came up with, I think they started with 8 or more outcomes that they wanted to be looked at, and then they narrowed it down to 4. And that's that second piece of paper that I gave you that has a B and a C, and the C where it says regional strategies to show improvements in the outcomes of success as identified by the Department of Human Services. That lists the specific outcomes that DHS wants these projects to work towards. The first one, the number of individuals who are in the emergency department over 24 hours because mental health, disability, or substance use disorder.
We're missing, I think, A.
Well, I didn't.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I didn't really. Right. This is the outcome start at C, so I didn't really give you. The rest of it is the whole plan, and I didn't. If you guys
right.
want it, I can
I
send it
to
you.
I thought there were the 4, so. Okay,
it's
thanks.
Not real relevant okay. to this right now. So it lists that the first outcome, the second one, it's down at the bottom. It's kind of listed kind of weird here. The number of individuals who are psychiatrically hospitalized 24 hours beyond the hospital, determining them ready for discharge because community-based mental health, disability, or substance use disorder services are not available. The third one, the number of individuals with a mental health, intellectual disability, or substance use disorder who the local or county police department report could have been diverted or released from jail if appropriate community-based services were available. And outcome number 4, the number of individuals involuntarily discharged from their community-based mental health, disability, or substance use disorder provider without a new community-based provider in place. This includes individuals discharged to jail, homelessness, or hospital that are not returning to services with their current providers. So those are the 4 areas DHS determined for people, especially, again, we're mainly talking about the people with the more complex needs.
Of course, one of the big ironies is they had a couple places like number 4 that they closed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Well, yeah. Yeah. So now they want the regions to come up with plans and services and ideas of how to work with all these areas that they want us to have outcomes. So that, again, some of these projects, you know, again, that is the goal is for them also to be able to hopefully fit into one of these outcomes that DHS is looking for. So, with all that said, at the governance board tomorrow, obviously a big question is, first of all, if the individual county fund balances are going to be used for the projects that are listed on that spreadsheet, if counties that are able to lower their levies, if they're going to do that instead. Also, then, if the county is willing and has money to contribute, which of those projects would they contribute to?
Can I jump in there?
Sure, you can jump in anytime.
So that's a perfect segue to where you can see where this gets complicated. Because if, let's just say that 2 counties say, well, we just want to lower our, we're just going to lower our levies and spend our fund balance. We want our levies to be 1 penny or whatever, and then we're going to spend our fund balances. And the other 7 counties say, but we want to do projects 1 and 2.
Yeah.
But then is it fair for only 7 of the 9 counties to essentially pay for projects?
Yeah. Well, and that's been part of the problem is that even though, now we have regional money, it's still kind of like step families almost, well, that's my account. And it's like, what the heck? We're a new merge. We're the Brady Bunch, for God's sakes. Come on. It all goes into one pot. And so they don't have a an established way of how they're going to determine that. It just kind of seems willy-nilly.
Right. Well, and right now, really, every of the nine counties are meeting with their local county board of supervisors to get input from, you know, on the county level, what their decision is going to be as far as what to do with the fund balance, even though it's MHDS fund balance.
So there's almost like three.
So
you could you could simply choose to reduce your levy.
Right.
You could spend the money on something that would be approved by DHS just in your own county, I guess. Or you could, or we could pool the money and do projects that are listed.
Okay, and Jan, in that meeting tomorrow, remind me, I know that very limited people have voices there. You have one, though, right? Or no? Is it just like...
well,
or do you have one, too?
I mean, I can speak up, but I don't. I can't vote or anything.
Right, but you can advocate.
Yeah.
I mean, well, because here's the thing. I mean, if it's a double whammy and I don't know how to empower you more than to say, you know, I'll be there in the audience cheering you on. But I think that as we talked about yesterday in our liaison meeting, certain redundancies need to be pointed out that, you know, like number two, that's extra, really.
It's kind of a difference. That up, I feel in a way. I mean, as far as there's, I don't know, Rod.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's fair to say, you know, we're already doing CIT, and you can go, and we're already paying for it. Why wouldn't we just?
I mean,
do more of it.
Right, it's opened up to. Yeah. I mean, the idea, and we haven't established this yet, but we've done three of the CIT trainings here.
Right.
The idea is that we'll probably do some more until we've got everybody here. We're getting close to that point, but we've opened it up to people in neighboring agencies.
Right.
So, and the region's paying for part of it.
Well,
so
and I wouldn't hope that some of those things listed on there, obviously, hopefully there's going to be some discussion about it, that it's not just going to be, okay, look at this and then.
But it may be kind of a moot point if most of these places want to lower their levy, then.
Right.
Then, and that gets to the question, which is really for Dana, is I guess we were all confused, given what we went through with recertifying our budget and everything last year. I didn't expect that we would have a whole lot of money that we would have anyway. Can you tell us what we have and how it came to be?
Yeah, because that never surprised me.
Kind of a good starting point.
So essentially... Well, at the end of the day, the answer is about $800,000 of excess fund balance that we did not account for.
Above the 20%?
Above the 20%.
Okay.
Ending balance. So 20% of our operating expenditures for the fiscal year, which is kind of our targeted ending fund balance.
Above the 20%? I don't get that, though. I mean, if there was that much there, then we really didn't need to scramble around for
I can explain
money.
That.
Well,
okay.
The region didn't ask for the full amount that they were
that's
intending
correct.
To
oh,
budget.
There's
okay.
over $675,000 of that actually was from the 50% reimbursement that didn't go to the fiscal agent in the fourth quarter. I want to put a caveat in there because I asked the fiscal agent to do that in the third quarter and not wait till the end of the year and was turned down.
So
because I thought that would be give counties a better idea of how much money they would have at the end of the year considering what was going through, had no way of knowing.
Can I interrupt for another second because I want to make sure everybody knows what you're talking about. This is that we pay into the region and then we submit bills for things like salaries and we get reimbursed.
Correct, but this is the actual quarter allotment.
Oh, this was the actual quarter allotment.
This is the actual quarter allotment
okay.
that we have so much that we have to contribute to
they
the region.
They just take it each quarter.
Right, and we bill out for that. However, at the end of the fourth, when we got to the fourth quarter, the fiscal agent only wants to keep, have five, no more than $5 million in the bank at the end of every quarter. And because of that, we only billed the regions for 50% of it. I had requested to do that in the third quarter because it made more sense. Because
we could plan better.
Right. Yeah. But it is what it is.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But that's
can't
where
that
the majority of that extra money came from.
And then the staff.
And then we had a decrease in staffing, which was another hundred and some odd thousand dollars. So we came in only at, I think it was, I have it right here, actually. Our expenses were at 87% of budget at the end of the year, but our revenues were over the 100%. So there was a gap there.
So that's how we got to that 800,000. So another consideration is a number of entities, including ours, through Gary Grant and Larry Murphy, have said, you know, all the business people say 25%, not 20. Why did you come up with 20? And then you only put 20 on the larger counties and 25 for the smaller counties. Why don't you just make it 25 for everybody? So if we actually said 25%, do we know what the difference would be between 800,000 and that?
Give me a dollar amount.
The dollar. 5%. The dollar. No, I know it's 5%.
5%. Well, if 800 is 25%, then just do
about 250,000 more.
I was told
that. Okay. So
yeah, where's my calculator?
So there is an argument I suppose you could make for
decreasing that,
leaving, or maybe only spending like 600 of it if that's what's on the table, either reducing or spending, because hopefully in the spring the legislature would allow us to keep a hold of that extra 200, which it sounds like I think most of us would like to do.
I wouldn't count on it, though.
Yeah.
No, well, right, and never any guarantees.
But. I don't think it's significant enough to worry about at this point, but that's something that could be considered in the following year's budget, because we have till 2020.
That's true.
2021.
That's true.
So do you need to sit? Well, I have one question. Looking at this Excel spreadsheet, it said rank by CODs.
Oh, yeah.
What
okay.
does that mean?
Yeah. So I'm a COD. It's a coordinator of disability services.
Okay.
So all the nine counties have, and basically they were the CPCs of those counties. So we looked at all these. We got together, looked at all these, and we individually ranked them themselves.
Okay.
Number one is the highest.
Yes,
and
between all the nine CODs,
yes.
You prioritized, and this is in priority order.
Yes.
Got it. I was wondering how they,
yes.
what that
but
means.
You also kind of have to, you know, they're the columns kind of to the right of the
yeah.
To the right of the description, you know, there's the counties that would hopefully benefit, the potential costs,
yes.
the time frame, all those. So depending on how the coordinators or even the governance board members, which of those columns even maybe you think are more important, you know, like the outcomes. If you feel that that should be a primary thing, those outcomes we just went over, then maybe that would affect how you score. If it's something that benefits your county, you know, maybe you're going to score that one higher, the money, you know. So different factors for different people may have played into how they scored certain things, too. So those are just our recommendations.
Right. And that, again, part of the big problem here is there's no uniform way for there's no objectivity to this. And even when there's some subjectivity, you should still be like looking at the same set of criteria and then going, well, I like this one better. But that's not even part of it. And it's infuriating.
There's also a little bit of small county bias to it.
Oh, of course.
I mean, Lynn and Johnson are kind of taking it in the shorts as far as these votes go.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Lynn County also is worth noting, you know, they really like the Access Center idea and pretty much have said, have pretty much said we would like to use yours until we can get one built.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are a number so, of something on
and
the
And I know Iowa here. County also, I don't know how much excess money that they really have or what they're going to do with it if they do. But again, they get most of their services here in Johnson County anyway.
Yeah, some of the dollar amounts we're talking about here with Iowa County could probably be fairly small.
Yeah,
Rod, it's interesting. Out of the 19 range of things, Johnson and Lynn are in the lower nine, not the nine.
Well, I guess we're in some of the all ones, though.
Yeah.
There is some stuff like recognizing that there's a it's just hard to buy housing. So that's a bigger problem than in Johnson County, and that's probably where that would take place if they did that. But.
And again, some of these, if you notice under the cost column, some of them are one time, like a startup cost or a, just a one-time cost. Some are ongoing. They're like a yearly cost, too. So obviously that, you know, makes a difference as far as if you're just talking about, you know, paying one time.
Here's another question for you two that I heard, and I don't know if this is true, and Dana would need to know. There is an ability to somehow designate some of this money without actually spending it.
Michelle has said something about encumbering funds for projects. I'm not sure really
that's
where that's been addressed in where in code that is or anything else.
And is that per county or regionally?
I think the whole thing is regionally, because when you look at Senate File 504, the fund balance is for the entire region.
Right.
So that includes everything the fiscal agent holds as well as what the individual counties hold totaled. So it can't be more than that 20 or 25% region-wide, not just for individual county.
It's region-wide, but then the individual counties get to spend their part of that.
I'm not even going to go there.
I mean, that's...
because so my understanding when regionalization happened to begin with is that those funds no longer belonged to the individual counties. They belonged to the region, period.
Yep.
Is that actually what's happening?
It's not.
Exactly. Therein squats the toad.
Yes. Exactly. And that's where the frustration, I think, for everyone comes in.
Yeah.
I mean, it was known up front where we were going to be with our fund balance 3-4 years down the line. That was a known product when it began.
So are there decisions that we need to make as a board on this?
Yes.
And what are they?
So we have an idea of how much money, I guess, that we have. So I guess you guys need to decide if you want to use some of that money for any of these projects listed.
Well, yeah, our baby.
Yeah, obviously number 11.
Or I guess maybe the first thing is, so we know we've got this $800,000. Under what circumstances? I mean, we could, just like every other county, we could lower our levy.
Oh, that's true.
Mm-hmm. We spend that down. We could spend it on a project or projects that we choose. We could spend it on a project or projects that the whole region chooses. Or we could say that we're going to do something contingent upon what others. You know, if everybody's willing to do a group project, we would do a group project. If some counties want to lower their levy, then we would do our own thing. Does that make sense?
Too many choices.
So
it is a lot of choices. But.
Well, I have an idea. So there's $800,000, kind of, almost, like ish. Just under, ish, right?
I like the ish
and
part.
So. When we were scrambling when we recertified our budget and we went in and we found that extra $500,000 because of the generator budget. Mm-hmm. So if we took that $800,000-ish and cut it in half, and half of it went to, because we can lower our level, we just can't raise it, right? When we recertified, we were allowed to raise it, but now that it's certified, we can only lower or keep
correct.
It the same.
In the current year, yeah.
So we could take half of it to lower it back down and the other half towards CIC.
The access center.
Yeah.
Or maybe
which would really
you're
help
talking about the next
3/5, 2/5, or whatever.
You're not talking the current fiscal year. Because taxes are certified and that's what we'll collect.
Yeah.
So that's done.
Next
so they can't lower that levy.
Yeah, we can't do that one.
I'm not aware of a mechanism where you could.
No, but for the next time around.
I think it makes sense. I'm kind of on the same page as you. I think it makes sense to say, well, if unless everybody and I'm 99% positive that not all the counties are going to say, oh, we're all in it together.
Yeah.
So if anybody says anything about going their own way, we just say, well, we'll put our $800,000 toward access center.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll have to figure out where Michelle gets this idea that it's somehow able to be encumbered if there's a basis to that.
And then, and here's the thing, you weren't at the last meeting, but in the governance part of the Crisis Intervention Center, the operational part, worst case scenario, so once it's built, we've got this input from all these different entities and different providers, there's still that first year before reimbursements start coming in. They've estimated that the worst case scenario would be a $900,000 shortfall for operational costs. So this could go a lot, you know, so that, I mean, the idea being that there would be seed money needed for that, you know, that first year or so, might be first 3 years, but I mean, you can't do the first 3 years until you do the first year. So here we go. This would really go a really long way. And that, as I said, the 900,000 is the worst case scenario. They're working at ways to even bring that lower, but this could do some serious good there.
Well, and also, I mean, personally, I really would like Johnson County MHDS as part of the region to be able to contribute something towards the access center. You know, it seems like, you know, the government entities and a lot of other places are, you know, stepping up to the plate and making commitments. And I think it would say a lot, too, that we were a part of also, besides just with the planning and all that kind of stuff, if we were able to contribute, too. And, yeah, the startup costs are a...
And this would be the operational end.
Right. Yes. Okay. Yes, because, definitely. Yeah. I'm sorry. Okay. Yes, operational end.
Well, because that's where we're looking at the big shortfall.
Yes.
And the city of Iowa City has more interest and ability to put money into the facility than into services.
Right.
So.
Right. And now that we've got some other entities coming stepping forward for provision of those services, we are very likely going to be able to bring that $900,000 down. That was just kind of looking at the ceiling.
Well, and the services part obviously is the part that
we do. Yeah.
You know, that's what we do and the people we serve and that type of stuff. So I think it only makes sense, but that's my two cents.
It's kind of a win-win, I think. Win-win-win.
Yeah, I'm completely committed to the Behavioral Access Center and as much money we can put in there to jumpstart it.
So do you guys want my vote to just be that we just want to save the $800,000 with the idea that we're putting it toward the access center, period?
Seems like that's addressing our priorities,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it's one of our
strategic plan.
Yeah.
That's actually a win for the region, too, because that's going to decrease service costs on that side.
Well, and plus, it's not like it's only going to be Johnson County that can use it. It won't be, clearly. We already know that.
That's one of the big misleading things that people don't understand is when a person has a significant disability, mental illness, whatever, they tend to move to Lynn or Johnson County either by choice or by force. And they don't stay in those counties.
And it's not as if there's going to be somebody standing at the door waiting to check your Johnson County ID.
And so we have here counties potentially benefited, Johnson, Lynn, Iowa, and Jones, but We know there will be people from that other region.
We just know that those law enforcement agencies there said we would drive a person down there because we think it would be beneficial.
Well, and when you consider all the people that are committed to UIHC, you know, I mean, they're from all over the state, really, you know, and stuff. I mean, it's amazing how many people, obviously, from outside Johnson County, you know, and so some of those people, I mean, obviously, people probably that are more local or the counties, you know, close by and stuff, you know, could be diverted from that, too. And so, yeah, it's not just us. So.
It's true. Okay, it sounds like we've got a plan then. Obviously, you guys will be there, and I think Lisa was going to join me at the meeting. Do we know, Deb, does the region have the same number that we have in terms of that 800,000? I mean,
well, it's actually 798.
Does it match?
It wouldn't. Well, they don't have the reporting for the end of the year yet.
Oh, so every...
We haven't even closed the books because not everybody's submitted their accrual.
So every county basically has to come with their own
numbers
to that meeting because...
I've asked for the cash ending balances, and I haven't gotten them, so...
Okay. So everybody's kind of just on their own reporting.
Yep. You have mine, though, right?
Yeah, I have yours, and I actually figured out the accrual balance to, estimate because I wanted to have that figure.
I'm really glad you explained where that came from because when I heard it, I thought, wait a minute, that's a lot of money. How did we miss that?
Right. Well, and the whole thing, you know, the state, this rush to spend it.
Yep. Yeah.
I understand it to some extent because there has been a history of some of these places choosing to just sit on money and not serve people, and that's not good. But this seems too far, the pendulum swinging too far the other way. But
well, it takes the ability to be thoughtful and deliberate about the process away.
Yeah. Well, there's like even these stakeholder meetings. I think we found out like in July we had to have them and have this whole plan done by October. You know, and they wanted all these various players to be involved in these meetings. And it's kind of like, well, it's summer, first of all, you know, but to get that many meetings and, it's been a crunch.
So we've got a plan. Anything else we need? Anything else you need to tell us? Dana?
More we need to know, Dana?
Rod?
Thank you.
Sounds like that's it.
It's clear as mud.
As usual. I tell you, it takes a long time to sort this stuff.
Oh, no. Yeah.
But it feels like a windfall. I mean, I know it's not, but it feels like one.
What time are we leaving?
Thank you, Jan.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah.
Thank you, Deb.
We leave about 1:15.
Where are we meeting?
Do you have room for me? Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Why don't you just meet me over at my office, and we'll go down and grab the car. And
all right, I'll be over.
Are you going
before.
To the meeting?
Yeah, are you?
Yeah, I'm going with him.
No. Today?
Oh, no.
No, tomorrow. Yeah.
They
have a finance one today.
No, we're not going with you.
And, Rob, before they run out of the room, if I schedule a meeting on the finance part for Monday, are you available? I know Dana's in here. You have all the...
Planning on being here, so
what?
I'm planning on being here. Let me check my calendar, but
this way we're not playing email tag all day on the schedule.
I don't have my schedule with me.
You want to let me know though, Deb?
Yeah, I'll go look. Right.
You're talking like afternoon or morning?
Whatever works for you. I mean, Dana and I and Chris will be here.
It's afternoon's best for me if you can do afternoon.
Okay.
I'll go check right now.
I mean, we have our audit team here next week all week, so
yeah.
Okay. But I can come up.
Thank you, Deb. Thank you, Jan.
Keep it short.
Okay. A little housekeeping here. It looks like we actually have a pretty light work session here.
That's correct.
I don't believe we'll be here this afternoon, will we? Or will we have...
Well, it
doesn't look like
it. Unless you really talk a lot.
It's dependent on you.
I have nothing to say. So let's move on in the agenda. Item
somebody
number
put a little star on the calendar.
Mike said he's going to shut up. First time ever. Okay, number two on the work session business, Joint Emergency Communications Center, Accounting and Human Resource Administrative Services Proposal.
This is item several months ago. Rod brought this forth because I believe he's the board representative to the check board, and that the board,
I was going to say, did you say check?
Check village.
Check board.
Check village.
Amazing. It's every time.
All due respect, Tom, that sounds more fun.
My understanding was that the
Jack beer's
board asked Tom Jones, the executive director of the Jack, to check into seeing if any of the member government agencies would be interested in providing some of the services that they are currently contracting out, such as HR administrations, account payable, account receivable, payroll, and possibly legal. So I met with Tom on August 24th, and he gave me some basic information about the number of FTs they have, the size of their budget, and how much they're currently spending on those services through their contractor, which is Lotta Harris, providing those. And this is just bringing it forth to you so you folks can decide if we want to pursue this option or if this is something you'd prefer to defer on. And I see Tom's here to give us all his
numbers.
Come talk to us.
Well, I have some of the numbers here. And we can,
Tom's coming up
that.
Here.
There we go.
Hi, Tom.
Hello. How are you guys?
Doing well. How are you?
Good.
Please introduce yourself for the auditor and then.
Yeah. Tom Jones, Executive Director, Joint Emergency Communications Center.
Who wants to start?
I'll just give you some of the numbers that I got to Tom, just so we have a basis of starting here. And some of these numbers were for FY16. Then FY16, for Lotta Harris, they spent $44,000 for accounting services, $12,000 for audit services, $14,095 for legal, which is really their HR consultation. FY17, it was a higher amount because about $26,823 through May 31st, because they about $10,000 of that was for union negotiations. There's currently a 3-year union contract that began July 1, 2017. If the issue is if this our services are taken over by government entity rather than a private contractor, they'd be looking at a July 1, 2018 takeover date of that. Just an FYI for the board, just so you know, the JEC has approximately 30 FTEs currently. That FY17 budget was expenditures of $3.4 million with revenues of smaller amounts, $25,350 for a user fee, $1,300 for an EMA pass-through, and $3,385,763 supplemental fund revenue from here. For health insurance and dental insurance, the budget for FY18 was $421,065. Dental, about $31,000. And then there are smaller amounts for group life, vision, and LTD, long-term disability.
Can you just copy those or send them to us or something?
But you were talking, those numbers that you just gave were actual payroll costs, right?
Well, some were budgets and some were actual expended amount. It's mostly just to give you an idea. The main issue is how much they're currently spending with Lotta Harris. If Johnson County can do that cheaper, and if Johnson County is even interested in doing that. The issue would be, I would think, and since the auditor is here, he can speak for himself, but I think the issue is if Johnson County took over these issues, then that would probably mean personnel expenses would increase, possibly having to add another FTE, and then could we add an FTE cheaper than what Lotta Harris is being paid to provide these services?
Okay, and by these services, you're talking about the auditing, accounting, and the HR
administration,
legal.
AP, AR, payroll.
Okay.
The audit would probably still stay third party, unless you guys use your own, you guys do the end of, you're using the same auditor we are, I guess, for your third party audit, so I guess that wouldn't matter.
So we don't actually, we need to move forward to see if it's feasible, if we'd save money.
Whole purpose of this meeting, so we get everybody in the room here, all the players, the board, Jack administration, and the auditor's office. If there's any interest in the county even pursuing this, because of With these amounts of money, that's, I'm not sure that Johnson County could do it for cheaper.
Yeah, that's.
And that's a question for.
It was $70,000.
Here's a question, and I just need to get this straight in my mind. So first, before JEC existed, it was dispatch, it was government, or it was county run, correct?
Sheriff's, through the sheriff's office, they were county employees.
So, and then when it became JEC, they were there, they were now private.
Correct.
And now we're
2080.
New 2080.
Governmental, but they're 2080 organizations.
Lots of different.
And now, what would this even count? I don't even.
Well, you would just provide the services for being a member entity. Like a lot of the, so like for instance, Scott County, they're paid, you know, the county will pay them. They'll be on county payroll, county benefits, but they're still independent entity. And it's just because you're a member entity, you guys can provide any of those services for us.
Yeah.
Contracting with us instead of with
Lyons. Yeah, Blackhawk's the same way. For instance, Blackhawk, I guess, a better example because Scott's independent. Blackhawk is independent, but they are all county employees, okay. County benefits, but they're.
All right. So now at the risk of sounding kind of like maybe not a friendly player, if we were able to provide those services cheaper, I could see why that would benefit JEC. How would it benefit the county?
Because we pay it.
Right.
I mean, we pay a portion of it, though.
No, right? Basically, it's all on our
portion. We're taxing in our operations.
Okay.
So if you guys can do it cheaper, we're just less. There's one lower tax amount to accomplish.
What about the other entities, though? That are
it's all on the county.
Yeah. Oh well, so this is just like in name only, then.
Because the way our levy works is we're taxing every resident. It's just not the without going into the TIF stuff. No TIF stuff.
Gotcha.
Hills resident. Everybody's paying the same amount countywide per that levy that we're in.
I see.
I think, you know, and one of the other big expenses is the health and dental insurance. That's been one task that the board asks all the time about. Was there ways we can do that cheaper by being in someone else's pool?
Okay.
And I've reached out. I mean, I've talked to, you know, Iowa City was the only other respondent other than the county that was interested in meeting with me to discuss it. And it's with their health insurance, it just they're completely self-funded, so it wouldn't be, there's no cost savings for us there because one catastrophic could blow our whole this is probably $400,000 could be through an insurance company could be saving us than paying out of our pocket for a catastrophic. So you know, with that, that's some of the importance is can these accounting services be done cheaper? And you know, we did look at this in 2011, 2012. Obviously it was different administration at the time, different auditor at the time. And those numbers did come back with they were going to have to hire more FTEs than what we were outsourcing it for. So it was cheaper. Now, again, the question is just coming up. Can we reevaluate again? Can we look at this 5 years later? We're all working together better than we were. It was brand new then. No one knew where it was going. Everybody's still kind of.
And there were a lot of startup expenses.
Yeah.
It was a lot more expensive then than it is now.
Yep. And just
startup.
You know, yeah, and now we're 7-8 years in, smooth running. So we seem to, you know, everybody's kind of on the same page now with it. Now that we're going and we see, you know, what the expenses are and what it's doing for us, so it's just time to look at it again. And they just wanted me to explore that with the member entities who would be interested, what it would take.
And Tom, you're going to have a sit down of some sort with Jeff Fruin too to talk about the same kind of thing.
That's been done.
You've already done that. Okay.
Yes. Yep, they
to
put,
see if they could provide it cheaper.
Yeah, they put Dennis. Their account,
okay.
They're done.
And what was their number?
They're about $30,000 for just the accounting services.
Oh, for just that? Okay. So they didn't tell you all the other numbers.
They cannot do any of the health benefits and stuff because of the self-funding, and they didn't show any interest in the. We just didn't discuss the HR stuff any further.
And $30,000 is what's. How's that compare to the number that you have? Because 44 was your total, right?
Yeah, it runs between 44. 44 is FY16. It's looking like 48 this year.
But that's just the accounting piece?
That's APAR.
Okay.
So that includes.
So Iowa City could save a considerable amount of money.
Yeah.
If you went that route.
And they are going to ask for 2.5% inflation every year.
Yeah.
To that number, to their initial proposal, it's 29 and some change, 29,150. is their initial number with 2.5% inflation adjustment each year for any corrections or adjustments.
Mr. Auditor, so can you tell us that?
That's exactly.
Well, we haven't looked at the numbers. I know, and Dana can chime in, and Chris, we've talked about if this will end up underneath our current tax number here at the county. If not, my concern would be we hire 1-2 full-time people to do this, and they aren't fully busy, but then all of a sudden they start doing county stuff. How are we going to figure those types of things out? You know, I guess we're happy to look at it. We kind of talked about it. We didn't know many details until just now. We saw it on the agenda. You know, the other thing, big concern I have is I'm kind of running low on space to put people.
That was
so,
my question.
Yeah, well, I mean, do you move all of my payroll to another area, which we've talked about and Chris isn't a big fan of because they need to interact with him all day long. Spacing needs too are key here also. But, yeah, if you want to send us that information, we can look at it.
Oh, so you don't have the numbers today then?
No. All we've talked about, and Dana and Chris and I, is whether we could do this under our current structure here at the county or if we're going to have to create pretty much a separate silo.
We can also, I mean, to be honest, I'm kind of pleased with that Iowa City number. I mean, that's, you know, it's nothing to sneeze at, saving, you know, $16,000 or whatever. Maybe we could just give them our blessing and, you know.
I'm looking for direction from you guys. I mean, we've talked about it a little bit, so.
With Iowa City, you're saying that you would have to have another FTE and maybe two?
We haven't looked at it yet. Okay. You know, I'm just, again, just without looking at any numbers, I would guess easily one,
okay,
without a doubt.
And what about Iowa City? Are they going to have to do that?
So what they're looking at doing is taking one of their current ones and allocating, I believe it was 10 hours a week. So it would be a 30-hour Iowa City or 30-hour Iowa City responsibilities, 10 hours, like, dedicated to Jack, or 10 hours every 2 weeks.
And would that be
an off? So a quarter of an FTE.
Yeah. That was in his budget that he could do it. And what they're also going
to
do...
To do the work, though. I mean, that's enough time to do that work. Okay.
Yeah, what they're spending on it. The other thing they're going to do is they're kind of going to almost replicate the way Lada Harris is doing today. They're going to use QuickBooks. Because of the way their payroll system is set up, they can't add another entity without messing up all their current existing city, how their, you know, finances set up. So they would just be essentially purchasing QuickBooks, but their accounting department would be managing and overseeing it and doing all the work behind the scenes. Dennis said he had experience with this back when he came from Ankeny. The airport did the same thing. The airport commission came to the city and said, hey, how can we do this cheaper? And so he's basically taking that model that what they did for over there and is just putting it together for me and saying, here's what we think we can do for you. And so that's where he came up with his. But it was just no additional staff. He was just going to take add some responsibilities to another and have them spend, you know, 10 hours or so on jet business.
And without seeing their policy, too, I mean, I'd like to know where HR falls in all of this. I mean, that's also something we'd have to consider, covering the insurance. And
and that's where it got interesting before with the county is, and it probably was with anyone, they said that once they reached out to Wellmark and quoted us, they had to take us. So whether we like the number or not, if the number, and I think, you know, I don't know that that's Wellmark's policy. It sounded different, but I have no reason to not believe what your folks did to the research. They said, you know, you have to take our number. So if that number was higher, then we were out the,
right,
you know, you were taking us at a higher rate than what we were paying. So I still don't agree that Walmart cannot quote us without, you know, taking us on. But we are under different plans, and we are doing things different. So the censuses are different. So,
well, they're just about the only provider, you know, in Iowa.
And,
so they can probably do whatever they want under the current regime. So.
Yeah. So, but anyway, the board may not say this had to be July 1. I know we're getting into this toward the end, too, by the time we've gotten everybody together with schedules to sit down with these numbers. But, you know, I present my first round of the budget in November. I was going to include some of this information in there, but we could also go into it with the fact of saying, if you wanted more time, you know, we're going to explore it, and possibly this is the next fiscal year, but it is on the radar. It is in the plan. we are going to use local resources to do this cheaper, or if they take Iowa City's recommendation, I plan to present that in November, to take that on, then they will be ready to go July 1. So we have some options.
I definitely think it's worth looking into. I mean, we need to see the numbers first,
sure,
and then make the decisions. And if you guys are willing to take on any of this stuff, and if it's,
you know, if you guys, I mean, I think you can probably fairly quickly have an idea whether or not you're, I mean, if you're more than Iowa City, then it doesn't even make sense, right?
Yep.
So if you come to that conclusion, then there's no reason to even consider it, because we would want to go cheaper. And if you think you're going to run into all these different obstacles, I mean, I think it's okay to just say no.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's why, sorry. I'd like to see their plan to know how they're working with HR, the insurance part. I mean, there's so many pieces to this that we haven't I haven't had a chance to look at.
And so we skipped that part with Iowa City. We strictly focus on accounting, payroll, and financials.
Okay.
Because we already know if they have to add it, if the auditor's office has to add an FTE,
then it's not,
we cannot match that.
Right. Yes. Absolutely. Exactly.
We already know that.
Yeah. You know, and we all know that we're not going to get an accountant, at least a good one, with benefits for probably less than,
So all things being equal, if Iowa City wants to do this and you're saving money and we don't have to hire anybody, that's to me.
And we still brought it back in-house between the member entities.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's kind of the...
And I appreciate you going through this, because I know it's a little bit of hassle, but...
That's fun.
Really?
So this stuff's the part I enjoy.
So I mean, if the three of you, I'm kind of looking at Chris and Travis and Dana, if you think it's not worth even pursuing, I think we can just give Tom our blessing and let him go. But if you want to spend the time to look into it, he just probably needs you to do it sooner rather than later.
The three of us want to talk this after, well, as soon as we can. That's fine. And I know Chris mentioned that there may be an issue similar to Iowa City where if Jack is under a separate tax ID number, then we may have to also purchase a separate software solution.
Yeah.
But that's also where I was getting at. If we add that person, how are we going to track their time to know they're working out of the Jack, or you know what I mean?
You guys figure that out. I guess
they do that in law firms all the time. You allocate your every second, someone's got to pay for it, right?
Yep.
If Dana, Travis, and Chris decide that we can't match that number, do you want to take action on that or just consider it, then we're done?
Why don't you just let us know either way? We wouldn't need to take any action, I think, but then we would at least know.
Sure.
Okay.
I have a funny feeling we're not going to be able to undercut
Iowa City. Yeah, I mean, I was surprised that... I guess I didn't know what to expect. I expected to hear some FTE numbers, I guess, that just because that's what we've had to do in the past. But.
Well, thanks again.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Thank you, Tom. Thank you, Travis.
No problem. Fellas. Appreciate it.
Everybody else. So that takes us completed one and two. Discussion from the public. I think nobody here from the public. So evaluation and goal setting, possible closed session pursuant to Iowa Code 21.5(i)(1)(i) to evaluate the professional compensating individuals whose appointment, hiring, performance, or discharge may be considered.
We've got an email from Phil.
Yes, we did.
Move a closed session.
Okay, we have... going to closed session. We have a second. We've got a freeze motioned and a second by Green Douglas. Discussion. Roll call.
Freeze.
Aye.
Carberry.
Aye.
Green Douglas.
Aye.
Sullivan.
Aye.
Okay. We're in closed session. I think we should take a break.
Just a quick break.
I can't. Okay.
Yeah, we have to make some technology
changes. Yeah, we got to make technology changes, and I think it's time.